practical questions. What does this look like for us as a community going forward? So we're just going to take a Q&A time with Mick and Ruby as our final session. We're going to do some worship together and pray and close up our afternoon. I don't know about you, but I am loving today. It's been so cool to see everyone connecting together. And I want to thank everyone that's worked so hard to make this happen. So many people have volunteered time, our young adults, our pastoral team, and our barbecuers, the Reeds and the Kitchens, who have been barbecuing not only today, but right through this month of January and into February. These guys are legend. So please, if you get a chance to thank them, do that. And thank you, everyone, for making this day possible. So let's pray as Mick comes and brings this next session. So Mick, I'd like to pray for you. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had. It's been a unique time, a time where we could just draw aside from everything that's happening in life and really be challenged, really challenged to think differently, to step outside of our comfort zone, yes, to operate with compassion, to do the hard work of allowing you to transform our thinking and the way that we live so that we can be there for others and share with them the hope that we have. God, I want to ask for Mick in this session that your Spirit would fill him and empower him to continue to speak what you are speaking to us. And for our part, God, we say we are open, open to be changed, open to be challenged. We want to be the people that are your people about your priorities in this life. And God, we want to ask you to change us. So would you do that through what Mick shares now? We thank you for this time, and we thank you that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Mick.
Okay, thank you. Hi, people. Sorry about the legs. I've actually got neighbours who every time they see my two sticks, she can't help but laugh. So sorry about this, but it's just getting too hot to keep the jeans on. Steve gave us, Ruby and I, by the way, didn't Ruby do well? Yeah. Don't you so appreciate a female voice? Yeah, we need more. Look, Steve gave me the topic some weeks ago on becoming a confident communicator of the gospel. So when it comes to evangelism, it seems to me that there are two groups that head for the hills. I mean, evangelism has very much become the E word. And so two groups of people, as soon as they think there's going to be something on evangelism, two groups of people head for the hills. First off, of course, the non-Christians. I mean, they think that if there's anything about evangelism, they're about to be manipulated, they're about to be bullied, they're about to be judged. So they head for the hills, yes? But the other group that head for the hills are the Christians. Because when it comes to evangelism, as I say, even in churches these days, it's the E word. And we don't want to go there. And maybe it's because people have experienced a lot of, or they know a lot of horror stories. They've seen it done badly. So instead of going to better use, they go to no use. And I think, and it wouldn't surprise me if there are a number of people here that when it comes to, this is what we're advocating, that we begin to become confident communicators of the gospel. And this morning, Ruby and I were trying to say, the first step in that, the first step is you become the best version of your relational self. Look, people, I've spoken in so many churches up and down the land across the denominations, and our Achilles heel is our inability to do ordinary radical relationships. So that's why we did what we did this morning. And And you've got to do that labor for the sake of your neighbor. But it's also in that encounter being a confident communicator of the gospel. But as I say, when people think about that encounter and that part of the encounter, no thank you. And they kind of draw up the curtain. And all they can think about is worst possible outcomes and nightmare scenarios. Is that right, people? And so what has happened in Christian circles is we have so catastrophized evangelism. We've made it into a monster. We've sort of abnormalized it. Don't go near it. That monster will eat you up. You know, we've so catastrophized it. What I want to say in this very brief time is evangelism is the most normal thing of your life. In other words, what I want to do is to normalize evangelism. Now listen to me. Lock eyes. Come to me. If there's one thing I want you to hear, it is this. Every single person on this planet are telling their story. It may be a story of I'm a victim and everyone else is a bully. It may be a story of how ambitious I am. It may be a story of, and look, story, there are so many stories that are told. But every single person on the planet tells their story to another. And you have a story. And part of your story is a Jesus story. But it's normal on this planet to tell your story. Did you get that? So normalize. Normalize this thing. When I recognize this, that, you know, everybody is telling their story, when I recognize this, I thought, well, I've got a story. So the mahi that I then did, the labor, the pain in the study, as it were, before I got out and did the pain on the streets, the labor and the mahi was, I've got to script my story. And it took me 2 years to actually download the story and to work out how I could effectively communicate my story. And so, you know, with pen and paper, I just slowly, over a couple of years, worked out how I best could tell my wonderful story. Have you done this work? And see, some people, they think, well, I haven't got a story. Oh, my friends, that is unbelief. You, each one of you here has an amazing story, but it's my conviction that most of you here have not downloaded it. And so how did I download it? Well, I went over my conversion story, you know, my history, and I thought, what were some of the pivotal points? Some of the turning points. And I came up with seven. And of each of these seven, I asked myself three questions. I asked, what happened? You know, what are the facts? Then I asked, and what were my thoughts at that time? And what were the thoughts of others? And then I asked, and how was I feeling then? And how were others feeling? And when I did that simple exercise with the seven pivotal points in my conversion story, a narrative began to form. A narrative full of facts, of thoughts and feelings. And then with pen and paper, I thought, well, how can I share that fact? How can I share that thought? How could I share that feeling? And so over the course of 2 years, with lovely fountain pen, because if you do it on screen, everything that goes on screen looks good, but it may not be good. But if you do it with a fountain pen or a pencil, you actually slow down and your creativity kicks in. So that's what I did. So I just want to illustrate this now. I mean, has anybody done this work? People, show of hands, a few. This is a challenge. I hope you're seeing the challenge. So when I was at Festival One a couple of weeks ago, I shared a couple of stories. And this is, I'm going to just do this by illustration. I'm illustrating the point I'm trying to make. So at Festival One, I did share part of my conversion story. And so part of that there was, when I was in year 13, I came home and there was no one at home. And I waited at 6 o'clock and I waited at 8 o'clock and I waited to 10 o'clock. Still no one was at home. So I thought, stuff it. And so I went to my bedroom. And I pulled back the cover of my bed. And as I did, a white envelope fell to the floor. And I thought, that was strange. So I picked up the white envelope and opened it. And it was a letter from my mother. And she said, my marriage to your father, my husband, is now over. And your twin sister is at boarding school. And the two other brothers, they've gone elsewhere. I'm sorry, you are home alone. And we were not close as a family. But that flipped me. That was a pivotal moment. And I was hurt. And so after that episode, after I left home, I went on the search for the good, the true, and the right. Now, I'll just finish it there. Now, who was at Festival One? It's basically about word for word. Is that how you heard it? Yeah. See, I worked on that episode. I scripted it and memorized it. How do you become a confident communicator of the gospel? You've got to download your gospel story and script it well, as best as you can. Yes? Do you think you have pivotal points in your story thus far, your gospel story? Just tell the person next to you in 30 seconds, just name one of them. Go to it. Okay, so I'm going to finish soon. I just we've got to keep this practical. This is doable, isn't it? This is doable. Yes? Please, please respond. I know it's the graveyard stretch, but okay. People, look, the merits of doing this and taking your time and letting the storyteller within you craft. Paul said, 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 3, he says, I'm a master craftsman. In other words, he brought to his gospel stuff a craftiness, a cleverness, some competencies. Oh, and he he grew and he, well, he went to so many people, so many places. This can be you. But it does require some craftiness, working on your story. So if you do this, I mean, it becomes so easier. I mean, so like, you know, everyone's got a plain story. So let me tell you a plain story of mine. So I was going on this plane. We're going down somewhere to Dunedin or Christchurch to speak and so on. And I got on the plane, and then these big boys, they got on the plane. And I mean, you know, their thighs were about my torso, you know, and they were big boys. And some were in uniform and some weren't. And then one of these guys sat down next to me, and he had this steel thing around his arm. And I couldn't take my eyes off it. I thought, how does he get that thing on and how does he get that thing off? So we're about so many minutes into the flight. And I said, because Ruby mentioned the word curiosity this morning. If you have a spirit of curiosity about people, you just want to know, you know? So I said to him, I said, I can't help but not look at that steel thing you've got around your hand. And how do you get it on and how do you get it off? And so he showed me. And so then I sort of started asking 300 questions about him, the army, how many tours, all this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, you've got to know how to indulge yourself, immerse yourself in small talk and do it genuinely. And as he was replying, you know, these are the weapons, you know, my commander, I did this tour, I began to hear my story. So I said to him at one point, oh yeah, I have a commander. And I wasn't trying to be clever. I do have a commander in my story, because I've scripted my story. And I said, oh yeah, and I've done tours. And I told him about the tour living in the heart of a slum for so many years. And I told him about the tour of this and the tour of that. So I said to him, yeah. And I said, my commander gives orders. Jesus does. And so I said, you know, I'm in an army. And you should have seen the look on his face, you skinny white fella. You know, you're in an army. But and then I could sense he was starting to feel a little bit awkward. So I changed the topic. Because I wasn't there to do a number on him. I was there simply to tell my story. But it was done so easily. Not because I've got the gift of communication. Well, I may have that. But you need to know that if you want to have the gift, if you like, you've got to do the pain in the study before the pain on the streets. For the sake of the lost. Because those neighbours that Ruby talked about, those people across the street, those people in your workplaces, some in your extended family, oh, they're living broken, shattered lives. That's their story that they're telling. But to hear a story of hope and healing that you could tell. No wonder it says, how beautiful are the feet of those. There you are, friends. That's all I felt to share. So with the person next to you, behind you, what are you hearing? You know, what are you hearing through this day? Do you mind? Do you like talking to each other? Take a few minutes. Go to it.